Accession number 17160, reel 3.
Mr. Forbes Morgan, reel 3. Now, you said, I think, that in late 1944 you were transferred to the Far East. Can you tell me how that came about?
Yes, well, because with the capturing of the ports as the army, the Canadian army were working up on all the ports along the northern France, capturing such as the Ypres, Boulogne, Dunkirk, and Calais. So the need of the air sea rescue boats based at Dover, the duties became less because the a mobile air sea rescue unit, which had been formed that operated after the landing by the British in Normandy, followed up the army along the coast right the way up. So they, at that particular time in 44, where they it was thought that the war would be over quite quickly, say in New Year, but because they started posting and drafting everybody out to the Far East, so this is where many of us were drafted out and. Because of they thought that the war in Europe would be over very, very quickly. But as we know, it did due to the the hard winter and the offensive of the Germans, it did not, the quick ending did not take place until the way back in May.
Can you tell me about going out to the Far East?
Yes, just drafted, went through the normal procedure of going aboard troop ships, and because we went out via the Mediterranean, and which at that time was in the hands of the Allies. And went through the Suez Canal down to where we landed at Bombay, where the RAF used to be taken to a RAF Worli, which is about 10 miles outside Bombay, a transit camp until where we were to be posted to, what part of the Far East. On this occasion, I was posted to Ceylon, to a mobile air sea rescue unit. And we were there, used to do patrols, go up various times right up to the northern part of India, and we did take part in the Rangoon invasion. But as soon as that was over, we were sent back again to Ceylon, and at the time when it was that the Allies were getting ready to invade Singapore, so there was all the invasion fleets formed in Calcutta, Madras and Colombo, and but because the atomic bomb was dropped and everything was back to normal until they sorted out the various units that should go to places like Singapore, Hong Kong, and but in my case, I ended up in the occupation of the British zone in Churi in Japan, which was a Japanese naval base.
What was that like?
Well, I was only there for a fortnight because with my trade, the Labour government by this were in power back in Britain, and they ordered all people in the forces who had trades or essential work back to England. And I did want to volunteer. I wanted to volunteer for further service because by this time I had become a coxswain, promotion was due to the older members of the crew being demobbed very early once the Japanese war was over. And I've still been young and had the promotion for first class coxswain, and I wanted to volunteer and stay on, but this was refused me because I was in an essential trade. So I was quickly posted back to within a fortnight of arriving at Curie, I was posted back to Blighty. I sometimes wonder if that was a blessing, because the Curie is almost it's very near where the very first atomic bomb was dropped. And the crews, although the unit that I volunteered to go for the occupation were all different people to I'd seen in Ceylon, the mobile unit I was on at Ceylon, I've never seen them and heard of them, and it's often I've wondered if they had been affected by the radiation of being that we were so near where the first atomic bomb was dropped. And so it may have done me a favour of only been there for a fortnight and being ordered back.
How were the Japanese in Kure behaving towards the occupation?
Well, didn't hardly saw them. We, I almost got out there. Time we got our boats. We went up to Bombay and put the boats along. Aboard the Empire transporters boats, and of course we went with them, and time we got the boats all serviceable and working hard, I hardly saw, and I was almost back. It was almost like saying I've been to Southend and for a day, and it was more or less like that. It's amazing. I've never seen and met any. Yes, I did meet one chap. He was a medical lead that I spotted. I was waiting on Victoria Station one night, soon after the war. I was waiting for my wife, I spotted him and went up and we had a chat, and he said to me, soon after you left, he said, you being the senior person, he said, typical, you'd been made up to a sergeant, flight sergeant and a warrant officer. The signals came through. but I never saw him after that. But
did the mobile SE rescue set up in Ceylon differ very much from what you'd been used to in Europe?
The mobile units were entirely different. I mean, because I'm only giving you my experiences, but because with my research, I know exactly what's happened to all the others, you see. It's very difficult to only going from my point of view and my experience. But
when you say mobile, do you mean they just went from place to place to different bases, do you?
Yes, and because, you see, back in Blighty, more or less in one base, you see. But naturally, in places like the Mediterranean, the Allies are moving along from the air sea rescue were out in Malta, and they had a rough time in Malta. But once, you know, landed, and then they were in Portstead and Alexandra, done a wonderful work there. And because landing in North Africa and the capture of North Africa, and then because the invasion of Sicily and Italy, because all the mobile units, and because they've, then the more we occupied, the more units there were formed, and so it went on.
I think you've remembered one or two more incidents from your days based at Dover.
Yes, we had a... there was a Halifax crew ditched right off the Dutch coast, right up by the... the estuary area. And our skipper volunteered to go and rescue. It was at night, and we went right over, and we rescued the whole of the crew, and as a result of that, our skipper was awarded the DFC. No, hold on, no, the DSC, Distinguished Service Cross. That was quite exciting, but it was all done in the dark, and because as previously explained, you know, we had to go over dangerous minefields. We were very close to the Dutch coast, and E-boat patrol vessels we had to dodge. This used to happen. We used to come across them from time to time, but we were faster actually than the E-boats. And sometimes they used to cross our bows, and of course we could get away quickly from them, and the time they saw us and we saw them, we were away, because this always happened during the night period. We never had an incident where it happened during the day. Another incident that we had where it involved an invasion fleet which formed up off the Dungeness coast. Naval craft came from the Thames estuary and from the Portsmouth estuary, and we all formed up off of Dungeness, and we were ordered to manoeuvre behind the Admiralty flagship, and the orders were that if we spotted any aircraft below 2,000 feet, we should fire on them. And amongst the fleet were invasion barges. Some had troops aboard, but some had coverings, camouflage coverings with the AKAT guns. And we went over 6 miles off the Boulogne. This was on the 9th of September 1943. We thought, and we were told at the time, that it was to shoot as many German fighters down as possible, because at the time the American 8th Army Air Force were being shot down by the fighter squadrons, and they were losing somewhere about 50 fortresses a day. But that was what we were told. It was, the idea was to go over towards the Boulogne area and shoot, if we were attacked, is to shoot as many aircraft, enemy aircraft down as possible. But not, although we got right over to, the, say, 6 miles off the Boulogne, and the Navy put up smoke floats, and we were hanging around about for 20 minutes, and then the flagship gave orders that all craft should return to their home bases. And not one incident happened, which was most extraordinary. But it wasn't until the end of the war and my research I discovered that that operation was given the name as Operation Deception. And the idea was that they wanted to catch a spy to see if he was acting as a double agent. He was attached to the Gestapo headquarters in Paris, and by information that our intelligence had given about this invasion, and there were many craft, much larger than the Dieppe raid. Now, if we'd have been attacked, I believe the story was that he would have been he would have been working for the Germans. And as we were not attacked, we discovered he was a safe spy. Hence, it was given the name as Operation Deception, but it had been given a previous name for that event of the day. I believe details are still there are very few details of this particular operation. But it was all tied up for the D-Day invasion.